we do have just a couple of announcements. And so first one has to do with next Sunday. We have a baby dedication. And so something we do every year, parents in our church who have children, what they do is they come forward and they stand in front of the church and just basically make a commitment to the Lord and to the church, or in front of the church, their desire to raise up their children in the fear of the Lord. And it's a wonderful time for us as a church. There's just a number of Sundays I love, and this is one of those special Sundays because it's an opportunity for us just to see the family or the local church working together in the discipleship process, but also just recognizing we never parent alone. And so if you'd like to do that for your baby and you haven't done that yet, all you got to do is contact the church office. Again, that's going to be next Sunday. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to jump into the ordination. And so like I said, we cut our singing a little bit short because this part of the meeting is going to just take a little bit longer because it's really that important. And so we're going to have a few testimonies, and then I'm going to ask Phil and Carol to come up, and we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them. But like I said, today is the day where we officially ordain Phil as an elder of Sovereign Grace Church. And this is important for us as a church because the way our church polity is that we are an elder-led church. And for the last, I don't know how long, number of years, we've had one official elder in our church. And I've shared this with you guys a number of times. We've preached on it, and Phil has been walking through the eldership process, and it has been a process. It's taken a lot of time, and that's part of the process, because part of the process is you test, you read, you're evaluated locally as well as through the region of elders in Sovereign Grace, and Phil has done all of those things. He's been faithful to read what he's supposed to read. He's been faithful to take the tests, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. He's passed with flying colors. Phil is a very smart man, theologically. He knows his Bible really, really well. If you've interacted with him at all, you're just aware of that, and you're going to be able to see that in just a moment because Phil's going to preach after we ordain him, and you're going to just be able to see his love for God, his love for the gospel, his knowledge of God's word, and his pastoral heart on display. But before we do that, he's got to be formally and officially ordained as an elder in this church. And what we need to know, if you're not familiar, an elder is someone who has been called and gifted by God to feed, oversee, care for, and protect his local church. Now, an elder feeds the church by rightly handling, teaching, and preaching God's word to the local church. And so this happens in the pulpit. This also happens through biblical counseling, private one-on-one teaching as well. An elder oversees the church by wisely governing, managing, and leading the life and people of the local church. An elder cares for the church by being genuinely concerned for the welfare of every member of the local church, not seeking his own interests, but the interests of Jesus Christ. And an elder protects the church body by looking out for harmful people and lies that seek to hurt and corrupt the local church body. An elder must also be a man who desires this office, and Phil desires this office. I think you have to desire it, right, to walk through this process. And so Phil has desired this office, and an elder is also someone who is appropriately gifted for it and has the character needed as biblically outlined in Scripture. And Phil is all of these things. And so after a lot of testing and with a lot of evaluation, we've come to this day. We've come to this day where we want to recognize this call that God has placed upon Phil to be an elder in our church, to care for us, to lead us, to protect us, and to teach us the gospel and God's word. And so I stand here excited. Phil, I'm excited. This has been a day that, I mean, I've been here for 16 years. You've been here longer than I have. And we've had conversations about this for a long time. And they've been intense conversations as we've been moving towards this day. So I'm excited. I'm excited as your elder in this church to, in a moment, lay hands on Phil and ask God to officially set him apart to join the task of caring for and teaching and loving this church. I love the way God has gifted you, Phil. I love the way these gifts complement not just me, but our leadership team, and our church benefits from your gifting and your passion. And so I'm excited for you to officially become an elder of this church. Now, before I call you up, though, before we have you say a few I do's, I have a couple of testimonies that we want to share. And so if I can have Chuck and Vicky, please join me. Just so you know, so Chuck and Vicky are going to share a brief testimony, and then Abby's going to share a testimony, and then I'm going to have you come up, and then you're going to see all these things you're going to promise to do, and by the grace of God, you'll be able to do, and then you'll be able to preach in just a moment. But please welcome Chuck and Vicky Walters.
Well, it was an honor to be asked, so thank you. We love Phil and Carol. They go together. So as a young man, God placed a desire in Phil's heart to minister to the people of Asia. When he married Carol, they both fully expected to spend their lives on the other side of the world. For years, they faithfully prepared themselves for ministry and took the necessary steps to become missionaries. Phil completed seminary. They visited churches. They raised money. They made their little support cards, which we have one in a frame back there. But God ordered their steps and kept them right here in Georgia. Though it caused some confusion for them and raised many questions, they continued to walk faithfully, and they trusted God had a plan. Today, there is no doubt their influence has reached around the world.
Phil discipled a young man who became a pastor in Japan.
Phil and Carol have changed the lives of their three children, Abby, John, and David.
They have also been involved with Friends of International, leading numerous groups of young people, mostly Chinese, to the gospel. Many were saved, and all have gone back into their homes, home country, with seeds of the truth of Jesus Christ planted in their hearts.
Phil and Carol continue to hold the rope for the Snyders and the rest of the team ministering in Isan, Thailand. This example of God putting a desire in their heart and then fulfilling it in an unexpected way has been something that I've watched and have learned from. It's bolstered my faith in a God whose ways are higher than my ways and who can be trusted, especially when I don't understand.
Besides being a godly husband and father and evangelist and a teacher, Phil is so much more. He is my friend, my mentor, my community group leader, and now my pastor. Phil has cared for me and my family in numerous ways. He's counseled us. He's walked us through hard times. He's directed us back to the Savior when we faltered. He's corrected us in truth and humility. He's helped us grow in knowing God and His Word. Phil initiated a family Bible study, which included our sons, and it proved to be a very fruitful study of Colossians. He taught us all how to effectively study God's Word. He has been a faithful friend and mentor.
And on the lighter side, he is willing to laugh at himself, and that has made for many memories. For his 60th birthday, we hosted it with community group, and we asked him to play pie face, which is that thing you fill with whipped cream and it's possible. So, of course, we played and played until he did get it in the face, which he endured with enthusiasm, actually. He is a man who knows how to have fun, and he uses games to reach out to people and include people of all ages, nationalities, languages, and that is a gift.
He's also a man that has struggled. I've seen him struggle with whether he should be called to be a pastor. I've also seen him grow in humility and in trusting God to the point that today he's officially becoming our pastor. When I think of Phil, I think of someone who is open with his faith and knows how to draw people out. He shows God's love in a real way. He has a pastor's heart for people. He cares for them. He gets to know them. He faithfully intercedes for them. And I want to be able to encourage him in this next season of his life and encourage us, the congregation, to pray for this man as he takes on this role. And important it is to pray for our pastors, right? We need to pray that God would continue to use him to draw others to himself. And I want to end with this scripture verse, Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Love you, Phil.
Great job, guys. Thank you, Chuck. Thanks, Vicky. We have Abby Padgett, please come on up. This is Phil's oldest child.
Good morning. It is such an honor to be able to talk to you about my dad. I thought I would start in very classic Phil Friesen fashion by sharing a familiar verse in scripture that both my parents, namely my dad, modeled to me growing up. Deuteronomy 6:5-9 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." There are several things that stand out to me when I think of my childhood. Weekly worship night, mealtime devotionals, any meal, any time, praying in the car before arriving to any destination, my dad's skill at turning just about any conversation into a deep theological learning opportunity, and my favorite, growing up being asked not to use the word awesome unless describing God, because only God is truly awesome. Silly, but he's right. I'm sure there were a few exceptions, but attendance to Bible time felt like a non-negotiable in our home. I remember my dad pulling out his guitar and song sheets, leading us in worship in our living room every Saturday night to help prepare our hearts for church the next morning. Or in the evenings at dinner, my dad would pull out and ask Pastor John or a devotional, and as a family, we would read together and discuss. Unfortunately, I also remember all too well the eye rolls I gave. I had checked that devotional box on my homeschool checklist that morning, and I thought that was enough. It hasn't been until adulthood and becoming a parent myself where I now see all the ways my dad protected our minds and hearts. The years of sacrifice, the long days of faithfulness, and the hours of prayer that my dad not only invested in our physical lives, but more importantly, in our spiritual walks. Dad, thank you for always being willing to be the unpopular parent in the moment in order to lead our family well. If you know Phil at all, you also know his huge heart for missions. Throughout his life, this desire has taken on many forms. From growing up overseas with his parents who are missionaries in Japan, to attending Dallas Seminary to get his master's. He has opened his home to those who need a bed for a night. He has pastored churches. He has led youth ministries. He has led college ministries. He has hosted countless ice cream socials and vacation Bible schools in your neighborhood. He cares for people, and he does it well. During seasons of weariness and suffering, and even God closing doors to good things, my dad has remained faithful in trusting the Lord through the uncertainty. My dad is exemplary. He walks in integrity. He is honorable, wise, and steadfast. He is a kind and loving husband to my mom and a dedicated and generous dad. He is quick to extend mercy and quick to ask for forgiveness. He has dedicated his life to studying Scripture, and he loves every second he gets to know it better. He lives a life marked by the fear of the Lord. Finally, my dad is a gifted teacher. Whether that be in our home, in our neighborhood, or in our church, the Lord has equipped and gifted him with a calling to shepherd. I'm so excited to continue to see the Holy Spirit work in the life of my dad and be a part of the blessing that I know the Lord is bestowing on him. Thank you for being here to celebrate with me all that the Lord has done and will continue to do in my dad's life. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. So Phil, can you and Carol please come up here and join me? This is the formal part. I think, Phil, you got like 8 promises you need to make. And I say that half jokingly, but in all seriousness, this really is a holy moment. And so he's gone through a process, and you've been aware of that as you've walked through that. You've shared your evaluations and have confirmed that you believe, and we believe by the grace of God, that you are called to pastor us. And I think Abby said something, I really liked it. I'm going to figure out how to coin it. Said unpopular parent at times. We want you to do a lot of things, but at times we want you to be the unpopular pastor to protect us and to care for us and to watch out for our souls as you called by God and gifted by God just to lead us into a greater understanding of who he is and a more passionate pursuit of knowing him and following him. And so it's going to look like a lot of things, and we talk about that, but I just want you to know I'm excited to be able to pastor together with you. I'm excited to have you as my pastor to care for my soul and to care for my family and to help lead us into those things that God has called us to. And so are you ready for this formal? Okay, if you want to look, I think we have them on the screen. Might want to step out. Can you see them? Okay, you can step out here if you'd like. Carol, you could step out too if you want to see them. I got them on my. Yeah. So, Phil, I'm going to go through these one at a time. The first one is this. Do you promise to care for the flock of God, not as a hireling, but as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd, caring for his sheep as the precious ones for whom he died? Do you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and this congregation, promise to preach the word in season and out of season? And do you promise to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience, enduring suffering while remaining sober-minded in all your preaching and teaching? And will you do the work of an evangelist among those whom God has given you charge? Do you declare sincerely before God that you believe all the articles and points of doctrine contained in the Sovereign Grace Statement of Faith, fully agree with the Scriptures? Do you own that statement as the statement and confession of your faith? And do you promise to teach and defend these doctrines in public and private? Do you promise further that if in the future you come to have reservations about any of these doctrines, you will share these reservations with your eldership and the regional assembly of elders? Do you promise to keep a close watch on yourself and to walk humbly before others, to be self-suspicious of your own motives, to invite criticism from others, and to make yourself accountable to those whom God has put in your life? Do you submit without exception to the explicitly mandated practices of the Sovereign Grace Book of Church Order, affirming that form of government is a wise and suitable application of scriptural principles? Do you promise to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel and to show yourself in all respects, in action and in speech, to be a model of good works, integrity, and dignity, so that neither the church nor our Savior, Jesus Christ, nor the gospel may be brought into reproach? Do you promise to continually seek the gifts of the Spirit that you might serve God's people, not in the energy of the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to carry out your ministry without the fear of man? Thank you, sir. You can step over here. In fact, I have Josiah and Glenn Page join me. These men are on our leadership team. These men have walked closely through this process, have represented you, the church well. And for those of you who don't know, the leadership team is something that I guess I kind of created in the absence of a plurality of elders. And so these guys have helped me care for and lead the church. And so I'm asking them to come up here so that when we pray for Phil and we lay hands on Phil and we ask God to set him apart, that they just join in that process. And so I wrote out some of my prayer. And the reason I did this is because I think this is important. I think this is a holy moment. So if you guys wouldn't mind joining me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have set apart to officially call Phil Friesen into pastoral ministry here at Sovereign Grace Church. We thank you for this man. We thank you for his wife, Carol, and his family. We thank you for his love for Jesus and his love for the church. We thank you for his calling and the gifts that you have given to him. We thank you for his love for missions and seeing the gospel advance in our community and around the world. We thank you for all the ways that he has served our church to this day. And we ask that you would please continue to fill him with your Holy Spirit, and that you would increase his gifting and his love for you and for others. God, we ask that you would increase his influence and favor in this church and in our community. We ask that you would protect him and his family and his marriage from the enemy. We ask that you would use this man and his marriage to grow us in our faith. Lord, we ask that you would give him the grace that he needs to pastor our church with joy. And now, O Lord, we pray that you would set Phil apart and install him as an official elder here at Sovereign Grace Church. Use him to feed us, lead us, care for us, and protect us as a church from our sin, the world, and the enemy. And Lord, we ask that your will would be done, Lord, through this man, through his marriage, through his family, Lord, that you would use him to influence us and to help us grow in our own faith. Lord, we believe that you have good things for him and that you're going to use him and his gifting, Lord, to grow us in our faith as well. And so, Lord, we rejoice in this day and this moment, and we give you all the glory. And Lord, as he opens up your word and preaches your word, we ask that you would fill him and bless him to speak your truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Phil, thank you. So, Phil, we also have a couple of things. You're probably aware we do have a reception afterwards. And there's a few other surprises for that. But we also have Phil. Will you bring that up here for a second? I'll take it back. But, and then will you get the... So a new Bible, because you probably don't have one. But this is from Sovereign Grace. Will you hand me that? Ordination. And this is the official certificate of ordination. So from Sovereign Grace churches and locally. We have some more surprises as well, but we have to wait until this is over.